I'm joined by Jeff McCausland, Colonel, United States Army, retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, CEO, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. The breaking news from Washington. Atlantic Magazine releases additional signal messages between senior Trump officials that include operational details of strike in Yemen. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much for this. This involves all the major national security officials in the Trump administration, to my count right now, but especially the Department of Defense, headed now by Pete Hegseth. What do we believe went wrong that the decision makers allowed a non-governmental worker onto their chat line? What happened? Do we know yet? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's a little bit unclear, but clearly we do know that Jeffrey Goldberg, editor of the Atlantic Magazine, was somehow included on this particular chat room that did discuss details of this strike against the Houthis prior to that strike actually occurring. We do know that he was actually added by the National Security Advisor, Mr. Waltz, to the chat group. Why Mr. Waltz did that is unclear. Mr. Waltz has suggested he is unclear how that happened, but it's clear by looking at the device and the details that he did add him. Whether he was added by an aide of Mr. Waltz who had access to Waltz's device is unclear at this moment, but I'm sure will come out in this particular investigation as it unfolds further. Furthermore, it seems what the administration is trying to do is less than clever effort to differentiate between war plans and operational plans. War plans, which we have about contingency operations in worldwide. Example, of course, was the recent dust up about Elon Musk being allowed access and discussion of our war plan with respect to a possible conflict with China. We know that's possible. It's not occurring immediately, but we have plans on how we would react, and he was given access, it was suggested, to those plans. And when I worked in the Pentagon, we had war plans for all kinds of contingencies globally. And this particular effort, it was an operational plan. An operational plan with very specific details on the timing, when aircraft were going in, some discussion of the targets, some discussion of the type of aircraft, some discussion of the actual bomb load. So in a very, very nuanced way, Mr. Hegseth says war plans were not released. You could say that is correct. But they were operational plans that included, I clearly would believe, and anyone with common sense would agree, was classified information, because if that had been leaked to an adversary using this app, which was not designed for classified information, it would put our airmen in harm's way, giving the enemy an opportunity to prepare to engage them, and the Houthis have sophisticated air defense, or minimize the effects of the operation by dispersing the targets, leaders to disperse, etc.
They used a social media platform called Signal, and you report that that is not for classified information. Surely everybody participating knew that. Is that the original error, to chat on something that's not secure?
And I think the original error was Signal is allowed to talk about sensitive issues, but not classified. Now, that may sound like a nuance, but for example, I could send a Signal message to you, John, if you and I were in the national security team, saying there'll be a meeting tomorrow to discuss our policy towards Yemen. That's sensitive, but that's not classified. So that's what Signal is designed to be used for. It is authorized for government use, has been for some time. Furthermore, though, the questions that are not asked in this regard are, number one, were they using government-approved devices? If any of them, for example, had downloaded Signal to a private cell phone, right, and were using this for these conversations, that's a violation of the law, number one. Number two is, was this the only conversation using classified information that they had used Signal for? And it does appear this particular group of national security officials, in my opinion, were being very cavalier and very lazy and very unprofessional. And if they did that in terms of discussing an operational plan against airstrikes in Yemen, they very likely did it in discussion about our policy towards Russia or Ukraine or Israel or Hamas or China or North Korea. So what I want to know is, how extensively had they used this, and what other topics, which may have contained classified information, did they discuss which could have been further damaging to U.S. national security policy if, in fact, they had been gained access to by our adversaries.
The Houthis are not known to be sophisticated surveillance of the United States government. However, can we presume that our major adversaries, peers, have the means to listen in on a signals broadcast or signals communication in some fashion? And can we assume that it was listened into?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the protocols are for you to not discuss classified information. Even though it's encrypted apt, it is not sophisticated enough for that type of a discussion. And consequently for the Houthis, they're more sophisticated than I think a lot of people give them credit for. But you're right, they're down the food chain quite a bit. They are supported by Iran, who is very sophisticated. So if the Iranians had hacked it, they could have passed that information rather quickly. And once again, for other discussions that were ongoing on Signal by the senior group of officials, in terms of Russia, China, North Korea, they all have that particular ability. When I was working in the Pentagon back in the day, and we talked about cyber operations, I remember a senior guy saying to me one time, remember, we're at war with China, North Korea, Iran, Russia, et cetera, in cyberspace and in terms of this kind of information hacking on a daily basis. And it's astonishing that this group, which was the senior national security team, including the vice president, national security advisor, SecDef, the head of the director of national intelligence, for goodness sake, the head of the CIA. And thank God it was Jeffrey Goldberg, because only the media person, only the reporter was the one to stand up and say, this should not be discussed on this type of a device. It's extraordinary that he was the only one mature enough to make that evaluation.
Back to the war front. Dealing with Washington is a rabbit's warren. But back to the war front. There is tentatively a ceasefire in place in the Black Sea. Now, the Black Sea is not a major combat zone, hasn't been for some time. I believe the Black Sea fleet cleared out when it became vulnerable to onshore missiles fired by the Ukrainians. Do you consider this a significant advance, a ceasefire in the Black Sea?
Well, it could well be, John. It shows the two sides are talking, and what the Trump administration seems to try to be doing is a progressive effort of negotiations where you begin with this suspension of attacks on energy infrastructure, you expand on that to the Black Sea, and then hopefully over time this allows trust and confidence on both sides that moves towards a full ceasefire. So this could be potentially very, very important. You're right. It does not seem that Black Sea operations have been interrupted in a major fashion, though it's my understanding that the Ukrainians, in terms of being able to export wheat, very important to them, have been having to use lanes very close to the western coastline of the Black Sea to preclude being attacked by Russian aircraft and Russian drones. And we have seen some combat operations. As I recall, an American drone was shot down by the Russians over the Black Sea. So this would be a not insignificant event. And furthermore, I think would be a reduction in tensions, because if the Black Sea had been a more intensive combat zone, then the possibility of involving other countries that border the Black Sea, think of Turkey, think of Romania, think of Bulgaria, all of whom are NATO partners, was much more likely if that was really an intense combat zone.
To tuck this in with our opening remarks, can we be certain that this signals chat room did not discuss the Ukrainian conflict, the decision?
We cannot, and that's why I, for one, have been insisting that the real story of a so-called Signalgate, I think as you're now calling it, is the question on what other topics were discussed on these devices that were compromised. I mean, I've been told that Steve Witkoff, Mr. Trump's senior negotiator, not only for Russia, but also for the Middle East, Gaza, et cetera, was actually in Moscow at the time of this discussion and was actually monitoring this on his device using Signal in Moscow, of all places, while it was going down. And the possibility, therefore, of him being hacked in that situation seems to me to be extraordinary.
I'm speaking to Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman. One more point Jeff and I have exchanged. If anyone in uniform was caught up in this chain, what would happen to them, Jeff?
John, I've only been doing national security stuff for 50 plus years. I spent 34 years in uniform. If there had been a senior military officer who organized this chat or divulged this kind of information that Hegseth did on that particular chat, he or she would be immediately relieved of their duties and probably forced to retire, if not reduced in rank. If a member of their staff, let's say the chairman, a senior member of his staff or her staff, had been divulged the information, they would be fired, and so would the chairman. But I hope that our senior military people that I know are sophisticated enough and trained enough that they would never have done this. I mean, the one thing we need to understand, John, in this regard, anybody, even the strongest Trump supporter in the United States, would have to admit that the team of national security officials he's assembled is the most inexperienced team in living memory for any president. That's not to say they couldn't do a good job. They just don't have the background. And it seems to me this particular rather amateurish event demonstrates Mr. Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, and others, a lack of experience at high levels in managing highly classified information, and they became lazy and cavalier about it. And in doing so, they did the one unconscionable thing, particularly for the Secretary of Defense. The Secretary of Defense needlessly put American service personnel, both airmen and sailors, at greater risk in a combat situation. That is unconscionable. And I would think that any person in uniform would never trust the Secretary of Defense again.
There's news on hardware. The last fighter aircraft? Jeff McCausland, I'm John Battle.